There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two of Live Local Talk. Glad you are along. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, if you want to, you know, I see a bunch of questions, where can I get audio? You can always get audio of that interview from last hour. You want to share it with friends of Senator Chris Elliott talking about his yes vote. That'll post up in the next half hour or so on our podcast page, which you go to fmtalk1065.com, click the link for podcast, and you can get hour number one of Midday Mobile Wednesday. That's kind of, I think, how it's titled on there. But you can go back through all the Midday Mobiles and Mobile Mornings and all the shows we do on the weekend and the evening. We have, 40 hours a week of live local programming, and all of that is waiting for you in podcast form. Easiest way to do it as well is to go ahead and subscribe at subscribe to get the downloads at iTunes or Stitcher. Stitcher for Android folks like me. If you're one of them Samsung folks, don't have the other parts of my family, I work hard to give them iPhones. I get the Android phone, but Stitcher is the app I use, and it works just fine on my Android. Gets me all the podcasts, so you can subscribe, get all the shows delivered to your phone, listen to the ones you want, and check them out there. Or you can go to Spotify. If you go there for music, our podcasts are there. The TuneIn Radio app, TuneIn Radio. That's the app that you can use on your smartphone to listen to the station anywhere you have a signal, streaming on there 24/7. You can also get our podcast. So if you missed a show, you can go back and listen to a podcast as well. So there's a lot of different ways to get that interview from last hour. And I want to address something quickly. And my buddy Brendan Kirby is going to join us here in two shakes of a lamb's tail. But I want to read this text here, okay? Because I think this is good. I don't know. This is an unnamed texter, which, by the way, y'all, give yourselves a... Even if you don't want to use your real name, give yourself a nickname or something on the text line, because that way I can just have, I just feel more connected to you if I have some kind of name. But this unnamed texter says, is there privilege in our government? How does this impact Chris Elliott's pocket? What cut is his vote giving him off all that economic boom? I think it is a real travesty to know that if I have a different opinion, it doesn't matter anyway because you aren't part of the cool crowd. Politics and our government should handle our hard-earned tax dollars that way. You should not feel blackballed or not included if you have a different opinion, and that's not how politics should work. All right, so unnamed texter, in spirit, I'm with you 100%, and I don't think there's a... If somebody's got some kind of benefit for Senator Elliott, you let me know. I haven't seen it. I think his benefit is that it does a good job for, in his opinion, for District 32, and then you reelect him. I mean, I think that's the benefit. So the idea that everything's a backroom deal with Boss Hogg and a 40-watt bulb hanging from a ceiling and smoke billowing out, just, are there deals like that that happen? Sure they are. Naive is something I'm not. But not in every case. You're also naive. You know where your naivete is the people that say every deal and everything that's done is because somebody's getting a bag full of money. How many times over the decade have people said, I have this opinion or that opinion on this show because I'm paid by this group or that group? And I've said publicly, here's my address, send me the money, I'll take it, but nobody's paying me. Other than Bigler Broadcasting, nobody's paying me. I'll take, if y'all want to send money, send bribery money, send it on. I'll give you the address. I'm not going to change my opinion, but I could use I want to put a new engine on the big boat. So if you want to send me money for that, cool, I'll do it, I'm in. But if everything that someone says, whether they're an elected official or they have a show, is not because they're purchased. Okay. Now, but you'd be naive the other way and not to think it doesn't happen. It does. But this idea that it's a travesty to know that if you have a different opinion, it doesn't matter anyway. And that stinks. I'm with you, Texter. It does stink. But that is the game as it's played in Washington. And people love when President Trump does that. But then they don't like it. That is hardball politics. Yes, I want a system that works differently too, but that's not how it's done. It's why I've talked about Senator Shelby all these years and people are like, I'm sick of him. And I said, listen, until they change the rules of the game, I'll deal with it. If you want to play grown-up politics here, until the rules of the game change, you better have a master of the game. And in the federal level, that is the head of appropriations of these United States in the Senate, Richard Shelby, our senator. The man who won't come on the show, doesn't talk to me. So I'm not propping him up. I can't get him on. I email. I can't get him on. I make fun of every building name for him. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to do anything with me. But I also know how the game is played. And the game is played by the players. And that's our play-us in this case. And that is hardball politics. So this idea that this is not the deal in Montgomery, that's naive. It is hardball politics. If you want to change it, I'm with you. I'm on your team. I'll put a sign in my yard to help you with it. But right now, on this day in 2019, the game of politics is played that way. And it's played by Democrats and Republicans that way. In this case, remind you that this was a Republican House and a Republican Senate and a Republican governor that voted for a tax hike. I see that. I've been telling you about it for a long time and told you it was coming. But to say that, you know, I think it stinks that if you're not part of the cool crowd, you can get blackballed. I agree with you. It is not cool, but it is the way the game is played now. So until you change that game, then you have to have somebody who that's how it's played. Now, you know, maybe the calluses have built up on my idealism over the years. Maybe. Or maybe I've just grown a little longer in the tooth and savvier on how things are done in places like Montgomery and Washington. And seats of government all over the fruited plains. All right. With that, I feel better. All right. Relaxed. Offer it up. And go talk to my buddy Brendan Kirby. He's, of course, the man behind KirbyOnPolitics.com and Kirby's Take. Also the author of Wicked Mobile and a man who's getting ready to give me a lecture. Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
I feel better, man. I feel good.
Get that off your chest.
I feel free. I feel like my brain just got one of those soft peppermints, man. I feel good.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
So, I mean, where am I all wrong on this?
Well, do politicians act in a political manner? I mean, sure they do. That's the way it is. That doesn't mean you can't get upset. For doing that. I mean, I'll just use a national example. What are the chances that your boy Rand Paul would see a piece of legislation that he thought was wrong or violated the spirit of the Constitution or needlessly expanded government? That he would say,
he does not.
I don't want to be on President Trump's bad side, so I'm going to vote for it.
No, you're right. He does not. He does not. And you know,
he didn't play that game, right?
No, and he is. And over time, people make fun of me because I'm such a Rand Paul fan. And even when I disagree with Rand Paul, I'm a Rand Paul fan for that reason. That's my idealism. But the difference is that Rand Paul could get boxed out of things too for that very reason. And Trump faithful, always Trumpers, which are the polar opposite of never Trumpers, people that won't even. Will have no disagreement with anything the president. You can support the president, still disagree with moves he made, which, by the way, bump stocks is one of them. If you look at this, Rand Paul could get boxed out of things and also get the ire of so many people that are big fans of the president because, and I point out people, I said, it was just 2 months ago, he was like, the president loved him because he supported him on this. Now he's opposing him on something else, but he gets boxed out. He doesn't move. And if I'm playing the political game, if I'm in Kentucky, and not just Sean Sullivan, who's a fanboy of Rand Paul. I want him to play the game so he gets to be head of appropriations one day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I mean, my view is, especially when it comes to things like taxes, if you think that the tax is good and, or necessary, vote for it. And if you don't, vote against it. But, you know, sort of hiding behind this, well, you know, I had no choice because, you know, the game, this is the way the game is played, or it was going to pass anyway. I wanted to curry favor. I suppose that's an argument
senator.
For it, but it's probably not one that's going to sound good to average voters. You think you should go up there and vote either the way your constituents want you to vote, or to at least vote your conscience. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right? No, I agree. But
it's almost like you're hiding behind, you know, something. Well, you know, and we talked about this off air. I mean, this provision where, you know, they've linked the gas tax now to this National Construction Index,
right?
So it can float up automatically without a vote. I mean, that's the ultimate politician's trick. Now, if you complain about rising gas taxes, well, I didn't vote for that increase, and that's done by the formula. That's automatic.
Let me argue back the other way, though. Ultimate politician's trick would be to have a very short sunset. You know, they love everything with a sunset, and I do too. But at the same time, they do that because that keeps them, that curries favor in the short term and kicks that can down the road to be the problem of somebody to be elected sometime in the future, unless you think you're going to be there forever, and that may be a whole different thing.
Well, I mean, a sunset's one thing, though. On a tax increase, you would not want a sunset because,
right.
You know, then you would have to vote all over again to raise them up again. which you would certainly not want to do. Taxes and spending should be voted on their merits every year, right? I mean, and if you think that the government doesn't have enough money, then you should have to put name the paper and defend it and vote for it rather than just, hook up the scheme where, there's an automatic escalator and it's out of our hands. You know what I mean? It just seems kind of contrary to the spirit of democracy and representative government where, you know, we make these decisions, the people we elect, you know, make those decisions rather than just say, well, you know, it's out of my hands.
All right. We'll do this because I know we have much more we want to talk about here. So we're going to run to the news break real fast and back with Brendan Kirby. Yeah, just give me his take, which I appreciate. And we'll get yours on the text line as well. And then we will get into a discussion of the Manafort sentencing. And, hey, are we still a meritocracy or can you just buy your way into anything if you're rich and famous?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Yeah, I've been shaving with Harry's for years now. Love the shave. That's the keystone to the whole thing, that great shave you get with Harry's. But even better, you get the convenience of having those blades show up at the house, your replacement blades. Also, how about saving 50%? That paying half of what you're paying right now at the grocery store, the pharmacy for replacement blades. It's big money. I mean, that's why they put them behind the, the locking glass shelf there because, believe it or not, razor blades are an expensive thing if you shop elsewhere. So do this. Join the 10 million of us who are shaving with Harry's. Right now, special offer, you'll get the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Limited time offer. Harry's has a special offer for y'all. Once again, new customers, so I can't get this deal, but you can get this deal. $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all three for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. It's that easy. harrys.com. Use code MOBILE at checkout and claim your offer. Let them know I sent you and help support Midday Mobile. All right, to continue our conversation with Brendan Kirby from KirbyOnPolitics.com, also the author of Wicked Mobile, and top story up over at Kirby on Politics. Now, amid doubts, reasons to believe in meritocracy. Well, news came out yesterday that has people doubting that meritocracy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, this is, I think, maybe a take on this that is unique or somewhat
And tell folks what we're talking about.
And just for people who maybe haven't been following the news the last 2 days, and we're talking about this college cheating scandal that broke yesterday. A bunch of rich and famous people, including a couple of Hollywood actresses, paid bribes to get their kids into good schools, or to change their standardized test scores, or to get people to take the test for them. All kinds of different ways this is employed. In some cases, kids that were not athletes were posing as athletes, and then they would bribe the coach, so the coach would mark that person as a recruit. And, you know, this is going to shock everyone, I'm sure, in your listening audience. It turns out schools have lower admission standards for athletes. That was the most shocking thing of that whole story.
Really?
You get like someone recruited for the crew team and highly sought after rowing athlete. They can get into elite school and not have to have grades or scores quite as good as the average student. But one problem is, the kids in this case, they'd never rowed before, so they weren't row athletes. All kinds of shenanigans and people paying hundreds of thousands, or in some cases millions of dollars, in these bribes and schemes to get their kids in. And so this sort of reaffirms everything we believe about the rigged system in America. And if you want to give Bernie Sanders ammunition to make the case that the system is rigged by and for the rich, this is the perfect story, right? The rich don't have to play by the same rules as everyone, and they get their kids in. And it's an awful scandal. But the more I think about it, the more it strikes me, in a way, this is kind of reassuring, because I think a lot of people always assume that if you were rich and powerful and connected, then you'd get your kid in any college that you want them to go to. And all you have to do is make a few phone calls and schmooze people, and the college would welcome the kid with open arms because they want the rich family, right? Isn't that sort of your idea of how people think that this system works, that it doesn't really matter what your grades or scores are if you're rich and connected, your kid can go to the school?
It was grade dependent, and I got offers from schools because of ACT scores and things like that.
Your parents weren't rich and powerful. I'm talking about for the wealthy, not the rules for the rich.
Oh yeah,
for the big, it's dependent on grades.
Yeah, they can add
scores,
a wing or
for
something.
For the rich and powerful, those rules don't apply because we have this aristocracy and their kids would get in. And I think that's how most people thought it worked. So if that's really the way it was, would Felicity Huffman and the Full House actress and all these other people have to resort to breaking the law?
Interesting.
And there's a basic disconnect there. The fact that they had to break the law suggests that it's not as easy as people maybe think, just because you have a lot of money and connections that your kids...
So I should feel good.
If that's the way it truly was, if we had an aristocracy, then you wouldn't need to resort to these to bribing rogue officials at colleges or getting people to take exams for your kids. Just people to get them in.
I love how your brain works.
The old, true aristocracy in England, I don't think that those people had to resort to bribery and cheating to get their kids into schools, right? I think that just by their membership in the aristocracy, they automatically got to go. And so that's all I'm saying here. This is a very bad scandal, but it does suggest that the fact that these rich and powerful people felt the need to cheat and break the law and risk prison time suggests that, maybe it is more of a meritocracy overall than sometimes we think.
One generation removed, the merit of the parents to earn the money to be able to bribe the people, to bribe the other people to get their kids in school.
Right, but bribery is illegal. It's a crime. Yeah, you are resorting to something that is illegal, and you are risking. Consequences in this case. Charges were brought. These people now face felony charges. There would have been no need to engage in any of that chicanery if all you had to do was just be in a rich family and then you get your kids in the schools in a legal way. If you have this kind of connection, then you could call the dean or the president or something. And
wouldn't that still be breaking the rules, though, if they had a certain GPA or a certain something and you got somebody in who didn't have that? Wouldn't you still be breaking those rules?
A college can take whoever they want. There's no law that says you have to have X GPA and an X test score, and the colleges themselves have their own guidelines, but they make exceptions all the time. You know, the aforementioned, athlete exception, I was kind of being facetious there. I think right. Everyone recognizes that if you're a top athlete, you don't need to have the same scores and academic abilities as everyone else, especially at more elite schools where the admission standards are higher. Make an exception for, they make exceptions, for race. That's pretty well acknowledged. The courts have restricted that practice a little bit, but you can still use that sort of as a tie-breaking, like a tiebreaker, based on race. Or if you come from a certain part of the world or the country where you don't have a lot of students and you want a diverse student body, you can make exceptions for that. So, colleges can make exceptions for all kinds of things. And, and then there's the legacy exception. And then this is closer to what we're talking about with an aristocracy. If your father went to Harvard, and then you apply to get to Harvard, most schools will give you a little bit of a benefit from the fact that your family had attended there. None of that is illegal. And so I guess all I'm saying is if it was so easy to get your unqualified kid into these elite schools through these legal means, then you wouldn't need to resort to the illegal means to get them in. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to downplay the significance.
No, I like a different take.
It is. And
you
it's
know
probably
that.
Just the tip of the iceberg. I imagine these are not the only people that have done this.
No, and I do like another take. I'm way more interested in man bites dog, the dog bites man. So I do like your take on this. The silver lining to the gray cloud is that at least there's some merit in having to cough up the money to bribe the people to get your kid in school.
Well, and I'm not saying that the merit is that you have to bribe. I'm just saying that you wouldn't have a bribery scandal if the system worked the way a lot of people assume it works, which is you just sort of scratch, you make a few calls, I scratch your back, and you're not doing anything illegal, you're not making a bribe, but you're from the right family, and our school wants you because you're from the right family, or you're Barack Obama's daughter or something, or George Bush's son, and people always assume that for people like that, it didn't really matter what kind of grades or scores they got, they were going to get. They're going to get in wherever they want to get in, and there may be people where that's the case, I suppose. But for a lot of people who have a lot of money, I would just suggest that they're having to resort to law breaking to be able to do it. Because if you could just do it the legal kind of wink wink nod nod way, that's the route you would take. You wouldn't. Resort to risking prison time and exposure by paying bribes out.
All right, coming right back. More with Brendan Kirby right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, and we continue our conversation with Brendan Kirby. Kirby on politics.com. Get Kirby's take. Also, the book Wicked Mobile, available now at finer bookstores and pharmacies on the end cap right next to the Andy Capps Hot Fries. So, got that going for you. You can stop by, get yourself something to drink, some hot fries, and a book to read. Yeah, I saw it here in Mobile. I don't know if it's in the pharmacies in Baldwin County, but I saw it in Mobile. People could, if you're walking around, look at those books on the end cap, and you might find Brendan's right there. And then somebody wants to get an autograph, ma'am. We can just stalk you.
Yeah, you can get in touch with me. There's a Wicked Mobile Facebook page. Send me a message through there. And if you're local, I'd be happy to meet you to sign the book if you want. And in a little while, a couple months, there's going to be a book event coming up at the Books a Million in Mobile. So I'll let you know more about that as well.
All right, good deal. All right, just heard an update there on the national news from Westwood One about the Manafort sentencing. Of course, in national news, that has been dominating the last few hours. What to make of the additional 3.5 years here?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the judge took a look at this defendant and balanced all the considerations the judges are supposed to do for every case. What do the sentencing guidelines say? What punishment is necessary to be a punishment for the crime, which is a factor to deter other people from committing crimes. And what are mitigating factors? In this case, his age and his health. You try and come up with it. They wrote these sentencing guidelines, and they wanted to make it more of a science than an art. But it is still probably more art than science. And when it shakes out, you know, she gave him 70 something more months, I think, and ran some of it concurrently with his other sentence and some of it additional. So it shakes out to, I guess he'll have about 7.5 years between the two cases. And now I hear that he's facing state charges in New York as well, so he might get additional time. It strikes me as a pretty significant sentence.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
A lot of people that are really upset that thought he was going to get a life sentence or something that are screaming and crying. Take this collusion Trump angle out of it, because what he was charged with didn't actually have anything to do with that.
It's fraud, right? It's fraud.
Yeah, and this is a financial fraud and tax case. And, you know, what is fair for that? I guess that's the eye of the beholder. You know, the ex-mayor of Orange Beach did 9 years for a bribery case involving condo construction at the beach. So he might look at this and say, that's a lot worse than what I did. And a lot of people might agree. But at the same time, I know the people always telling us that we need sentencing and prison reform because we have the prisons filled with all these nonviolent offenders. This is a nonviolent offense. You know, I mean, it's a tax and fraud case. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, it's sort of in the eye of the beholder, and people who really don't like Trump, you know, wanted him to get a whole lot more. But I think what you have to ask yourself is, what would a fair sentence be for someone who committed the exact same crime?
Right. If you and I were facing the same judge for sentencing, what would our sentence be?
Right. Yeah. It's assuming the same profile. You know that we
sure.
We don't have a long criminal record. You know, before that, and all the other factors being the same. Deterrence is tricky. I wonder sometimes, you know, how much people are really deterred by sentences, and you know, judges spend a lot of time trying to calibrate that. I'd love to know someday. Maybe when I pass on to the next realm, somebody can tell me how many people would have committed all these crimes but for they read in the newspaper that somebody got 5 years for it and they decided not to because of that. I don't know. I don't know how much. I think there's a general deterrence by the fact that people know that they could get in trouble if they're caught doing something. I think that there is, you know, some deterrence value in that. But is there a specific deterrence for specific crimes based on specific sentences that have been handed down in the past? I'm just not sure people, you know, run those numbers before they decide to get greedy and break the law.
And I heard the judge mention the lack of contrition, right? Is that part of a sentencing guideline?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely part of it. In order to get in federal court, you get a benefit from pleading guilty. So if you don't admit guilt and you make the government go to court and spend the resources on a trial and prove it at trial, you tend to get a harsher sentence. You get a benefit by coming to court and pleading guilty and saving the government at that time. But a component of that is that you have to not only plead guilty, acknowledge your wrongdoing and take responsibility for it. And the judge felt that he hadn't really done that, based on the fact that, post-arrest, he did some things like, he made that call to a potential witness that the Mueller prosecutors set him out into witness tampering, and that he, generally was dishonest. So you're supposed to be, to get the benefit of that, you have to plead guilty, you have to show contrition, you have to cooperate fully, with prosecutors, which means that you don't lie to them and you tell them everything you know about any crime you may have been involved in, and they determine you didn't do that. So I mean, it would be appropriate to ratchet up his punishment based on that. But again, I mean, 7.5 years in prison. I mean, that seems like a pretty substantial sentence to me. I mean,
and forfeiting
7.5 years in prison, I wouldn't think it was a slap on the wrist.
Well, and all the money forfeited. I mean, the huge amount of money that we're talking about, and I think I heard millions of $6 million. I think I heard that in fines on this.
Yeah, I mean, he'll have to pay a substantial financial penalty. His career and reputation are ruined. He will spend the better part of the rest of his life, given his age, in prison. He won't be any. He'll lose his civil rights. He won't be able to vote. He won't be able to. He won't be able to own guns. You know, he won't be able all the civil rights you lose when you get a prison sentence. I've heard people describe this as a slap on the wrist. I guess it just depends on your definition of a slap. That does not seem like a slap on the wrist to me. And incapacitation is another one of those factors judges are supposed to take into account. Sometimes people are so dangerous that we want to keep them in prison longer so that they won't hurt people again. But Paul Manafort's ability to hurt people, will be severely diminished after this, the chances he's going to be able to, at age, how old is he now? And is almost says, age 77, say, be able to cook up, these big business schemes and then defraud the IRS. That's much less of a concern, than say someone who is much younger, who's committed violent crimes, who if they don't get a long sentence, might get out and commit more violent crimes. So the judge has to weigh all that. It's a difficult job, and judges are sort of opening themselves up for criticism either way they go. I mean, if the judge had thrown the book at him, and given him the maximum sentence, it would have made some people happy, but it would have it would have struck other people as unfair, and you're singling this guy out because of who he is, not what he did. And if you go the other way and say, well, this is nobody was physically hurt here, so we're going to give you probation or something, then you have the opposite reaction to that. So you have to just sort of try and strike a balance and weigh all those factors, and it's not an easy job, and that's probably why federal judges get paid $177,000 a year, because those are the hard decisions. A lot of what federal judges do are kind of routine, sentencing is not. I mean, it's one thing to apply the law and kind of, be the referee in the trial and that sort of thing. But the really hard decisions are decisions like this. We're talking about depriving someone of his liberty and then how long's too long and what's fair and knowing that if you ask 100 people, you might get 100 different answers on what's fair.
There he is, Brendan Kirby. If people want to follow you on Twitter, how they do it?
At Brendan K. Kirby, and of course you can check out the blog at KirbyOnPolitics.com or Wicked Mobile on Facebook.
Great stuff, man. Thank you. 145 FM Talk 106.5. You're always been told, don't touch that truck. Well, event coming up on Saturday says, it's okay if you touch that truck. My friend Mary Lee joins us next to talk about that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Remember, check us out online. Online opinion poll question is waiting for you. A lot of votes today. And, of course, it's a discussion about the gas tax. And we had it in hour number one, which, by the way, that podcast has posted. My interview with State Senator Chris Elliott. It's up there and waiting for you, as is the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Will you continue to support senators and representatives that voted yes for the gas tax? Right now, 64% say no, 36% say yes. Make sure you get your vote logged in over at fmtalk1065.com. All right, and my friend Mary Lee Gay is joining us because it is our chance to touch a truck. Usually people say, don't touch the truck. You know, don't get your hands off the truck. You got a pretty cool event coming up where we get to touch a truck.
You can touch lots of trucks.
Talk about this. What trucks are we touching here? Big trucks, right?
Well, we've got school buses, a Coast Guard boat, fire trucks, city and county trucks, tractors, all kinds of loaders and diggers. And I know all these fun names because my three-year-old son that adores trucks, any kind of trucks, but it's pretty much any kind you can imagine.
The three-year-olds and maybe his daddy too.
Oh, the dads. I mean, yeah. I really kind of am not sure if it's the dads that like it more or the kids.
We're only doing it for our children.
I know, right?
Really, we're only doing it for our children. But this event's coming up Saturday, and it benefits Mitchell Cancer Institute.
That's right. It's Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it benefits Mitchell Cancer Institute and Adoption Rocks. And the money for Mitchell goes to children's cancers research, leukemia and DIPG, which has been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah, yes. So this obviously local event, local charities, which I love. And if somebody, walk us through, if we've never done it before, sometimes people, if we don't know how something goes down, we're kind of apprehensive. I don't like walk us through. We just pull up. Where is it? And we just get out and walk around. Kind of walk me through. Like you and I are riding together. We're going to go.
Okay.
Walk me through this. What do we do?
Okay. So we're going to load up the car.
Okay.
With all the kids that we can find.
Okay.
Or dads, I guess.
Yes.
It's $20 a car load. So okay. You can bring as many people as you can fit into a car legally.
Oh, wow. Yes, legally.
Know, just in case the law is listening.
That means the extended SUVs are going to be in the parking lot.
Yes, or a cargo van, whatever you want to get. Okay. And it is at Hank Aaron Stadium in the parking lot, 10 to 2, like I said. If you don't want to hear the constant honking and sirens, or if your child has sensory issues or just doesn't like noise, like my kids, you can come from 10 to 11, and it's noise-free and siren-free.
Okay.
So that's a great option for people that have that issue.
Good for y'all doing that. That's good.
Yeah, it's a great thing. But you load them up and come on out. It's $20. Please bring cash. It makes things a lot easier.
Okay.
And then you're just released into the truck area.
The trucks are parked out there in the parking lot, right?
Yeah.
And so we just pull up and we can get out and go look at the loader. Go look at the Coast Guard boat.
Touch it. You can climb on it. You can honk the horn.
My children can go sit in the seat.
Yep, they can. And you, not only that, but we've got lots of great people that come from all different organizations that donate their time, and they'll talk to you about the vehicles.
Oh, cool. So there could be, if it's a fire engine, there could be somebody there to talk to.
Yeah, the fireman will be there.
Oh,
the policeman will be there. You know, pretty much everybody that is driving the truck will be there to talk to you and tell you all about that truck.
Okay, so in this case, we don't have to get tickets prior, which is good.
No.
All we have to do is remember
just bring
on Saturday
your $20.
Morning, $20, pack the kids in, come out, and you said it starts at from 10 to 11 is...
The noise-free hour. But then, anybody is welcome to come to that. But the full event is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I would plan to be there for at least an hour because there are so many. There's food trucks there.
Oh, good.
See, we even have food trucks.
That's good because I'm hungry.
Yeah, so all kinds of options to eat there and... Just bring the family and come on out. It's a fun day for everybody. Really, everybody in my family loves this event. So,
and folks with young children probably know exactly what you and I are talking about. They love the trucks and the big machines. Heck, there's those of y'all uninitiated. There are DVDs and YouTube videos all over of just big trucks.
That's right.
And I've put those on in the past for my son, and just he's been.
And what opportunity do you have to not only see, you can occasionally go touch a fire truck, but to have all these trucks at one place and you can go and touch anybody, that's a kid's dream.
Yes, it is.
Or a dad's dream.
Yes, or both of our dreams. This is good. So, okay, if people riding down the road, this is one of these things that's good because they don't have to write down a bunch of stuff. They just need to know they need to be at the Hank on Saturday.
On Saturday, 10 to 2, and bring $20, preferably cash.
All right, yeah, please do that. Make it easy on that. And this, once again, benefits
Mitchell Cancer Institute, Children's Cancers, and Adoption Rocks.
All right, very good. Any closures here? Anything people need to know? Anything on the horizon you want to talk about?
Not on this event. See, but I come back for plenty later.
Okay, because I mean, you wear like five hats. So I figured, you know, if you had anything else in any of your other jobs.
Five hats in about 1 minute. Yeah. In total, about 500 hats, I feel like.
That's true. But I'm just saying, you know, while we're here, listen, you got some big jobs. We'll talk about them. But this is cool. And we'll put this up. We'll put a link through. Is there a Facebook page for this?
Yeah, you can go. There's a Touch a Truck event page. And just for the record, this is not my job. I'm a volunteer.
That is correct. But she volunteers at about, her volunteer schedule is way more than most people's full-time gig. And she has a full-time gig. All right. Well, we'll put that link up on our Facebook page, Dalton, so people can check it out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you out there on Saturday. And it's Touch a Truck. So if you want to go out, dads, and pretend like, let the kids do it first, but then pretend like you're driving the bulldozer. I'll be right there with you. All right. Before we wrap up today, I want to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins, because I heard a show earlier today. They were talking about precious metals, and the whole time I'm like, y'all just need to call Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and talk about this, because they were saying silver may be a good play. I said, duh. Angelo told me about that years ago. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going today, Sean?
Good. Good. Yeah, remind folks that haven't heard you and I talk about this before, what you told me in a private conversation years ago on precious metal, you said, man, gold's great, but you need to look at silver too.
You really do. People look at gold because it has a really high dollar value per ounce, and they strictly look at that. But if you're going to invest, during this last run-up, if you invested 10 grand in gold and 10 grand in silver, you would have tripled your money in silver and made less than half of that in gold. So, you know, it's all about the volume. People look at it ounce to ounce. You can't look at it that way. It's an investment. If you put X amount into one, X amount into the other, silver is definitely going to be the better payoff.
Yeah, this is what's great, too. When folks come into the shop, you'll take time, you know, to talk. I mean, I've watched you do it before. Somebody just walks in, you don't know. They got a question. You take time. Y'all sit there over the counter and talk about this stuff, and it's kind of advice that y'all give for free.
Well, we do it for absolutely free. We like people to know what they're doing, what they're getting into. A lot of these shows that are out there, they talk about, you know, when silver hits $100 an ounce and different things like that. They use scare tactics to push people into buying something that they're not really sure if they need or want, but now they're terrified they're going to miss out. We don't play those games. We just try to explain what we've got and what it's for. And whatever your need is, whether you just want to stack up a bunch of silver in the safe, or you want something to barter and trade when the apocalypse hits, we can explain which products work best for what and let you make that decision what you want to buy.
And speaking of those products, too, if people want to get fancy with their silver, y'all have lots of coins and coins that you can customize.
We certainly do. We have everything from those cool engravable pieces that we have at the shop, which make great gifts, by the way, to just different unusual stuff. And if you want to check out the new things, go on to Mobile Bay Coins Facebook page and like and follow us there. We just got a shipment in early this week and a lot of cool new stuff out there on the page.
All right, good stuff. And if I want folks to go find you on Facebook as well and visit you, but if they want to do it in the real world, tell them how they get there.
In the real world, Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can call us if you get turned around. Just give us a shout at 251-725-1590. We'd love to see you.
All right, Angela, we'll see you soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
All right, you too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. All right, 157, Paul Feinbaum Show is on the way next. Just a couple reminders here that, number one, the podcast is up for the Chris Elliott interview, and we're getting some questions from people around the state on that. I think right now, if that hasn't changed, he is the only of the yes votes, actually the only of the yes and no votes, that has been on the air in the state of Alabama. So I'll give him, whichever way you lean on this, good for him coming on and talking to folks. Maybe more to come, but that's the only one up, because I was getting some notes here from people in other parts of the state that said, hey, can we get that interview, because they don't have it elsewhere. So good for him. So that's up on the podcast page, or you can just, if you already subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher, it's waiting for you right there on your smartphone. All right, I am out of here. Feinbaum is in next. We'll see y'all in the morning for Mobile Mornings, Thursday style, right here on FM Talk 106.5.